You are listening to a podcast from the New York Oracle User Group. The information given here is provided on an as-is basis. The presenters, as well as the officers and steering committee of the New York Oracle User Group, disclaim all warranties, express or implied, with regard to this information, and will not be responsible for any loss or damage arising out of the use of any information contained in this presentation.
You all now are ready. My name is Doug Hahn, and I am the Practice Director for Fusion Middleware Services at IT Convergence. And so one of the areas we focus on as a primary core focus area for our company is the business intelligence applications, the OBIE, or the Business Intelligence Enterprise Edition stack at Oracle. And so what we're going to talk about today is pretty much the same slide deck and presentation that's going to be presented at Collaborate 09 in Orlando by Gene Plege, who was originally going to do the presentation today, but he got extended at a client and couldn't make it. And so luckily I was in town, so I'm going to be able to take his place for this meeting. So again, thanks for having me. The session will be session 219 at Collaborate, so you kind of get a sneak peek of what's going to go on. So we're going to talk about the trade in your Discoverer F-150 for an OBIE Lexus. And so we kind of just came up with this acronym because, or this visualization, is traditionally when it came to reporting, there was a lot of data going around, a lot of complexities when it comes into the strategic reporting platform of an organization. And so everybody built what they needed to build in order to just get it up and running. And so not to say that Ford F-150, especially right now, considering Ford's the only company not asking for a bailout, so it kind of has double meanings now. But you're really looking for something above and beyond just what's necessary in order to get the job done. You want to be able to do it faster, more complete. You want to be able to get business answers very quickly and not be waiting for hourglasses, not waiting for your reports to render. You want to be able to get some true business value right away. And so we're talking about the OBIE Lexus in terms of, let's step it up a notch as far as your enterprise reporting platform is concerned and start taking advantage of certain things like a collaboration of your data, sharing information between lines of business, all of the rich features and functionalities that come with OBIE and that technology stack. And so specifically we're going to talk about how we can get our already existing Discoverer environment inside of OBIE. And there's some procedures and approaches that you need to go through in order to take that metadata that you have existing today in Discoverer and move it into OBIE. Now, the end result of that migration will be you will have all of that metadata, all the calculations, redefinitions of columns and tables that you had, let's say if you were mapping against an e-business suite environment, you'll have all those same data elements available to you inside of a much more richer, robust environment in OBIE, and you don't have to rebuild everything from scratch. And so a lot of companies, what they're doing is they're building this their Discoverer environment in parallel to a new data warehouse, other data sources, or the BI applications that all kind of fit together. Hyperion's another great example, where you can have all of these applications in one location, including what you had built in Discoverer in the past to build reports on. And one of the key features is you can actually have an individual report that shares data, whether it came from Discoverer or directly feeding from eBusiness Suite or a data warehouse or the BI applications that could be built on top of OBIE. You can have one report that shares data from all the different data sources simultaneously. So you really get a lot more robust environment and you're not locked into a specific environment. So again, just kind of going over, I guess, the speaker qualifications. My name, as we mentioned before, is Doug Hahn. I run the Fusion Middleware practice, which we've said before is all of the applications in the Fusion Middleware stack, including Discoverer and Business Intelligence. And so I'm also presenting at Collaborate, not on this topic, but on a separate project or a separate topic at Collaborate, more geared towards using OBIE to maximize your R12 initiatives and migrations in eBusiness Suite. And so myself with Gene, we actually founded the Nevada Oracle Users Group. Neither one of us lives there anymore, so I don't know what they're doing. But we actually built that out in Las Vegas quite a few years ago. I've been doing data warehousing for actually 15 years now in business intelligence. I've built my own data warehouses. I've been a RAC DBA in my prior lives. And so I do understand the trials and tribulations of the technology and what it takes to get metadata from one tool into another, and obviously specifically the Discoverer to OBIE that we're going to talk about today. So I don't want to knock Discoverer because it has its place in an organization, but it, for the reasons that we kind of mentioned in the intro, it doesn't have everything you're looking for. Otherwise, most companies would not make the migration. There are needs and necessities that an organization is looking for to try to build on as far as their reporting strategy is concerned, what they're looking for from their organization, what they're looking for from the reporting strategy, whether it's speed, whether it's the ability to cross into multiple areas and look at multiple data sources at the same time. There's a lot of really good reasons to look at OBIE as a stack. And so you also get away from the Discover environment where you're not, I don't really want to say it's an Oracle database-centric tool, as hard as it's listed on the presentation slide, but you really need to be able to focus on the fact that all your data is not existing just inside of an Oracle data source, and so you need something that can connect to multiple sources at the same time to do those reporting. So now we really want to talk about OBIE. Why are we doing this? Why are we moving Discover into OBIE? And we mentioned before, the simultaneous heterogeneous data sources, to be able to look at multiple data sources at the same time and not be bogged down to where the what technology is hosting your data, but just being able to get access to it and share it amongst your lines of business. Unified business semantics is huge in the business intelligence market. I worked for a client that we spent 9 months just trying to identify what it was a credit card company, what a annual fee really was. And that was because we couldn't get the lines of business to agree on what an annual fee was. And so it's not necessarily, when you're talking about having this unified business intelligence solution, especially the pre-built ones from Oracle, we're not saying that that's what you're going to use in your environment, but it makes a lot of sense to have that as a starting point. And so there's a lot of that unified business semantics inside of your Discover environment as well, because you've built reports on these where people understand those common terminologies. You want to be able to pull that into OBIE and use that going forward and not reinvent them. And there's also a rich set of tools that allow you to get at the data, whether or not you're looking at alerts where your data will actually tell you something's going on as opposed to running a report to find out if something of interest is happening. Your dashboards are a lot more richer as far as colors and what can be presented inside of the platform. And so you really do get a lot of the advantages outside of not just the core technology, but in the presentation in OBIE as well. And as we mentioned, there's a lot of work and effort that's been put into your Discover environment. We don't want to just start over from scratch and rebuild it. So Oracle has provided us a method to be able to get that Discover data inside of OBIE. So this is what OBIE is in Oracle's eyes. It's more than just a particular product or a tool. It's really a suite of applications. And so if you read it from bottom to top, you have access to multiple data sources. You're using the Fusion middleware layer in the middle to gain access to all of your data sources across your company. And you're being able to look at it in multiple ways, whether that's report and publishing for just your static web pages that everybody's very familiar with, your ad hoc analysis, which is where Discoverer is being migrated into. So it's part of that ad hoc analysis, or the ability to write new reports on the data that you already have. If there was going to be a new version of Discoverer, it got rolled into OBIE's ad hoc analysis module. So that's where Discoverer went. These interactive dashboards, the ability to click on indicators and drill down and find more detail that you can't do in Discoverer today. In Discoverer, you have to build every report, explain to the tool what every click means and what you want to see, what report is rendered based on that click. In OBIE, you can set up those hierarchies. Discoverer started building things like the hierarchies to be able to try to get some of that functionality inside of the tool, but there was a limitation to the technology stack, and that's why Oracle has chosen to go with a product that they actually purchased from Siebel to actually be able to do that, and that's what makes up the ad hoc analysis and the interactive dashboards. So S-Base, as I mentioned previously before the opening, Oracle is migrating to a single reporting platform. So moving Discoverer or Hyperion, S-Base, all these other data sources or these other tools to be looking at data, whether it's forecasting, strategic type reporting, or whether it's real-time or operational reporting, it's all going to be inside of the OBIE technology stack. So it makes sense. All of these, so the daily business intelligence, you mean, all that's going to be sunsetted as well, and they're going to be focusing on OBIE as their primary and really sole reporting platform going forward. So you're not going down some kind of weird path to where your technology needs to be at your organizations. This is where Oracle is going, and so the amount of time and effort you put in it to actually get onto that platform, including the Discover pieces, is going to be time well spent. So all the proactive alerts and desktop gadgets, you're not in a Discoverer world, you're forced to log in, run a report, wait for the hourglass to come back, then you look at your report, find something else of interest, run another report, drill down deeper. You don't necessarily know when something has reached a particular threshold or something is of interest to you until you drill down, look at the reports, and try to find it. So these desktops, gadgets, and the proactive detections and alerts are mechanisms to send you text pages, emails, or a device sitting on top of your desktop to tell you that something has happened. So whether if you're in manufacturing, how many widgets are going out the door, if that number drops below a certain amount, you want to be told about it so you can actually have those reports tell you proactively that something is happening. Again, you can't really do that in the Discoverer world. You're taking advantage now of all these rich new features and functionalities of OBIEE. You can disconnect and do some analytics if you're not on your VPN or if you're on an airplane. You don't have to be connected to your home network or to your office network. You can do analytics as well. And the integration into Microsoft Office is a two-way integration and a lot more solidified integration. And what I mean by that is you can pull data into Excel a lot more easily in OBIE than you could do with Discover to do other analysis or other calculations. You can also use a product like Excel or PowerPoint or Word to be your portal back to your data warehouse information to be able to pull data back into your Office, your Microsoft Office tool of choice, so you can look at and generate more reports based on that. So some people are just never going to want to walk away from the Microsoft Office tool sets that they're familiar with. That's fine. They don't have to. It's tightly integrated into the suite. And they can use Discoverer data to pull back in. So you can actually run your Discoverer reports that you have today inside of Excel or PowerPoint or Word if it makes more sense for your business community to do that. And so this is Oracle's famous slide of what is how a typical business intelligence technology stack would look, where you have multiple data sources at the bottom that feed data through either a data warehouse, or you can feed directly into that source of data, do some transformations that we're all familiar with in Discover as far as doing a new calculations or transforming the definitions or columns of tables from those source systems so they make sense for our lines of business, and to move up into and actually have reports and dashboards running on the screen for your user community to see. And so where Discover fits into this, if we kind of move things around a little bit, is your metadata gets pulled into the layer inside of OBIE as well. And what that allows you to do is map those layers back to your eBusiness Suite environment, for example, do some logical transformations, redefinitions of columns, build some new metrics and KPIs onto your dashboards, and actually build reports on top of it. So the Discoverer as an engine goes away. It's a little misleading in the slide when it comes to the physical architecture. The Discoverer piece goes away, but the intellectual knowledge you had in the metadata of Discoverer gets rolled inside of OBIEE. So you're not really hitting Discoverer metadata anymore. It's still your metadata, but it's been transformed into OBIEE, so it's just another data source for you or another way of looking at your data that you can take advantage of. So again, this Business Intelligence Enterprise Edition, there's a lot of marketing terms on the Oracle website, and it is a little confusing. They talk about Single Edition 1 for Business Intelligence. They talk about Enterprise Edition. They talk about Enterprise Edition Plus when it comes to BI. They're all marketing bundles. The really piece you need to understand is there's one BI server. Doesn't really matter what version you're going with, but there's one BI server, and the tools that are necessary to put the data in to that server and to take the data out so you have the presentation is really the only difference between the different product sets. So exactly how the names mean. If you were looking for all the bells and whistles and everything you'd like to see, that's the OBIEE Plus, which includes the Hyperion modules. If you don't really need the Hyperion pieces, OBIEE is more than enough for your needs. And if you just want to do some rudimentary ad hoc analysis, some quick ETLs and a little bit of data warehousing, but not too crazy, then and you only have less than 50 users that are going to be using that application, then OBIEE Single Edition or Standard Edition 1 is more than sufficient for your needs. Again, it's the same engine underneath the covers, and your Discover migration will work in all of those cases. And so it's still the same engine that's driving everything. It's just the bells and whistles and the ways to look at your data that are changing in the marketing side. Well, when Oracle talks about business intelligence, so they use enterprise performance management now as their more global term, it really constitutes two different types of reporting. You have your operational reporting and your strategic reporting. And what we mean by that, operational reporting is real-time. What have you done today? What did you do last month? And you can do some extrapolations into the future based on that information. When you're talking about strategic reporting, it's more about what-if type reports. So Hyperion fits very nice in forecasting and modeling and for the future. So if you can build a very complex model to say, if I close my office in Ohio, what will that do to sales? Well, it's not a simple calculation, because not only will Ohio's sales drop, but there's going to be additional workload on your sales force in the surrounding states who have to make up for that now void in your sales force. So you can build complicated models of how your organization is built. If you buy one product at a grocery store, typically what other products are built with or bought with that product? So does it make sense to put them together on the shelf or not? Well, if you take one product away, does that mean sales will drop on the other product too, because they're normally bought together? Those kind of models, what-if kind of questions, is where Hyperion sits. And so Oracle's approach is, with Enterprise Performance Management, EPM, they're selling both together, and that's why they offer OBIEE Plus, where if you're doing real-time operational reporting, you're going to use OBIEE, you're going to use the Discover metadata that you had before and integrate that into your reporting strategy. But then you start asking complex questions about what if and forecasting for the future, you do Hyperion. Now, I just want to be clear, you can do both in either tool. So you can do operational reporting in Hyperion, and you can do strategic reporting in OBIEE, but that's not their strength. That's not where they excel at, where they're the best at. And so you, in combination of the two, it's really talking about using best-of-breed technologies to address the two different, very different reporting needs that an organization has. So, all right. So in the Discover world, the end user layer, all that data that is stored inside of the Discover end user layer, it gets retransformed into Oracle's OBIEE platform. It's called an RPD file. And so it's a proprietary format that Oracle has, but it's a very different format. OBIEE cannot read a Discover or metadata file. It needs to be in an RPD file. So Oracle has a tool set that allows us to transform your EULs into RPDs. So the steps basically are outlined here as far as how do you get there. And so you create your new RPD file, because OBIEE needs an RPD file to start with. Even if it's blank, you need to start there. Then you use the OBIEE migration tool, which is supplied when you install OBIEE by default, to actually go in red. Take your EUL files, all the supporting metadata layers from Discoverer, and transform it into the RPD file for you. And then you have to actually go into OBIEE, validate that your queries are going to work, that the EUL has been transformed successfully into RPD, do some validations to ensure that it came over correctly and all the information you were expecting it came over did. And then you can actually start using it from the OBIEE side. And I guess the last step would eventually be the release of Discover as being your primary reporting platform. And you don't need to have the hardware or software and support that you were putting into Discover after that. Again, and once you've validated that actually the migration has occurred. So how do we do this? So I've got a bunch of screenshots that just kind of go through the process, what the tools look like. Some of them are GUI-based, some of them are text-based, what files you need to be able to manipulate in order to get it to do the behavior you're expecting. And so you start off with, in your Discover environment, you obviously need to dump it into a format that the Oracle OBIE engine can look at. And so you log into Discoverer. I'm sure we've all seen the Discoverer admin login screen. And in the Load Wizard dialog box or whatever, when you start starting up, it asks you for that Load Wizard. You don't really need that, so you just kind of cancel out of that. And so when you go up, and it's not actually on the screen here, but you go up the file and then to the export command from the Discoverer administration tool, or up from that menu bar, and you get this wizard that's going to help you export your EUL information into a format that has not only just your end user layer information, but all of the supporting information, the hierarchies, all of that other pieces that kind of get slapped together in your Discoverer environment. And so you have to pick and be sure you pick the entire end user layer. You don't want to miss any pieces or components. It's been our experience that trying to pick specific business areas or specific objects in your end user layer, you tend to miss stuff. And that's completely dependent on how you set up your Discoverer environment, how disciplined you were, and your subject areas were truly self-contained. It's been my experience that nobody is perfectly self-disciplined in this area, so the best approach is to do all or nothing when it comes to the migration. So again, you browse down to where you're going to actually save the file that the Discoverer export tool is going to build for you. And so in this particular example, the end user export file, the EEX file that Discoverer is going to turn out for you, we've just picked a directory for it to actually do the save the file to. And it's giving you the some follow-up or detailed information about what's actually going to happen when you go ahead and save the file. So it's telling you what the business areas are, what folders are going to be saved, etc. And so you can click on Finish, and it will take a little bit of while to do the export depending on how much metadata you have in your Discoverer. But you're basically creating that EEX file to be imported into OBIE at a later date. So once you're done with the Discoverer piece from the administration side, you can close down all those windows. And now there are two files that come with OBIE that are going to transform that EEX file into an RPD. And so when you do the installation, if you take the basic installation on a Windows box, we've got the typical path is the Oracle BI /server /bin directory is where these two files are located. And so you need this migrate EUL executable file, and there's also a properties file that's going to drive the execution of that migration utility for OBIE. So if you look at the configuration file, you're going to set some, this typical Oracle format, I guess, for a properties file, but it's going to allow you to control the migration behavior. So for the demonstration that we did here, we just kind of kept the defaults. There's a lot of documentation from Oracle about what the different parameters are. In most cases, the default parameters will be enough for you to migrate what you have, but again, you have to consult the documentation for anything that's unique in your environment. And so when you run it, it is literally run the exe space, the name of that file. In this particular case that we created the EEX file, we copied it into the bin directory in order to have the bin directory and the executable in the same directory. It needs to be that way. And it's not really clear in the documentation, or at least the versions that we were looking at, that you have to have the EEX file inside the directory with that executable. It's not going to go hunt or do absolute file paths for you, because it's going to create a lot of other files that are going to be compulsory for the migration process to occur. And so the easiest way is just to put the EEX file inside of the bin directory where the migration utility is, and so that you can actually run it. Yeah, we had issues with it, and so really the only way we were able to consistently get it to run without errors was to put it inside the bin directory. And so it will go through and tell you what it's doing, where it's reading and creating the repository, and it's building this RPD file for you. And it's going to give you the directory destination of the RPD file, which those destination directories were set up in the configuration file for you, and also a log file. And pay attention to the log file. Always go in, take a look at it, see that it actually did what you think it was supposed to do. Not every error message or warning message will show up on the screen. It will be dumped into the log file, but not show up on your screen. And so definitely go and look at the log file. There will be warnings in there, like every migration tool ever has. And you need to look and pay attention whether or not they're critical errors. You need to fix those. If they're warnings, they may be okay. They might just be exactly that, warnings. And you have to kind of go through them and evaluate each warning on its own merits. So it creates that RPD file. And so now we log into the administrator from the BI side. And it's very similar to what we were used to in the Discoverer environment. So you still have to have, again, that OBIE is already installed. That's why you had the migration tool. We created that new RPD file. But when we log in, we can actually see all of the different subject areas. This is what the administration tool is actually looking at. So we replaced the RPD file when we did the generation. We replaced the RPD file with what was in the EEX file. So we're actually looking at the different subject areas that have been built. And so we have the physical on the right-hand side, which is exactly that, the tables that are in columns that are sitting inside of EBS or whatever source information you were looking at. Your transformations in the middle and your redefinitions and calculations. And then on the far side, on the left side, your presentation layer, which is what your users will see when they're writing a report. And so we can take a look at, from the physical side, we've kind of just broken it down here into the slide decks to show you what is inside of that particular business area. And you can see some connection pooling information, all of your, what was called the video 5 subject area, what tables, views are actually been stored and been migrated into the RPD file for you. And so if we look at the physical layers, all of your the owners, where that physical table exists, is that was stored in the metadata in Discoverer, so it knew where to go. It's now inside of your OBIE environment. So when you are looking at it in OBIE, in the presentation side, it actually knows where to go get your data. It's not going through Discoverer anymore to know where that location is. So any connection information, this is actually a good point that I skipped over, if there's any connection information that you had set up for your business, for your Discoverer environment to be able to see a specific database, whether that's TNS names or O names or whatever connection methodology you're using, IP addresses if you're not using DNS, etc., they have to be defined in the same way or be accessible to be defined as the same way in your OBIE server, because again, you're translating metadata. So IP addresses will come over, server names will come over, schema names come over exactly the same. And so you have to have the same definitions from your BI server, otherwise your metadata won't be able to find the physical table and you won't be able to do your joins. Also, the join properties that you had set up as far as the interdependencies of your objects inside of Discoverer also come over into the OBIE engine. Your hierarchies, as we mentioned before, those relationships that you have, so years to quarters to months to weeks, or regions and markets and down to cities and how your organizations are divided up. If you set up hierarchies inside of Discoverer to try to take advantage of that type of reporting structure, it'll come over to OBIE as well. And OBIE is really nice when it comes to hierarchies because it's data-driven, so you don't have to build your hyperlinks. So if you've got a report that has 2009, for example, for your year, if you built your hierarchies properly in OBIE, you don't have to build a report that says, if I click on 2009, I want to see Q1, 2, 3, and 4 broken out. OBIE recognizes the hierarchy, puts the hyperlink in for 2009 for you automatically in the engine. And so when you click on 2009, that report's already built for you and it'll expand out to quarters and months and weeks or how far that hierarchy goes in your particular definition. So it's data or table driven as opposed to Discoverer where you had to go back and build every, say, what report I actually want to run based on that particular value. And so when we're kind of looking at the presentation side, if you had any transformations, redefinitions of your columns, those also came over into OBIE as well. So if you did some definition changes, maybe you deviated from industry best standards or you're taking advantage of definitions that your line of business uses uniquely and that's inside of Discoverer so that they know what those columns are, that's also transformed over. So it's not just the physical tables that are being, that definitions to those physical tables are not just coming over, but all of your business logic and transformations of those physical columns are also coming over as well. All your calculations as well. So if we're looking at the product category in this particular case, on the right side we have the physical, which has all of the columns and the keys that have been defined in your product, all your transformation layers, any calculations that you may have done in the presentation or in the business modeling and mapping in the middle area, very similar to Discoverer. And then what those columns really look like on the physical side, the presentation side, as far as what your user community will look at. And so obviously product key, for example, is not something you're going to expose to your user community. In proper data modeling design, it should not mean anything for your business, so it shouldn't matter to your organization. It's not in the presentation layer. And so in our EEX or the EUL layers that was built, we did not supply the product key as a possible field to be presented in Discoverer, and so we didn't present it. So it's not looking at the physical and just remapping it. It's actually using what you built inside your Discoverer model. And so in the connection pooling, if you have connection pooling done in Discoverer, it's a really good idea to make sure that those connection strings work properly. Again, if you're using TNS or Oracle Names or whatever other resolution technology for defining where your data sources are, make sure you go back and take a look at your connection pooling, because again, it's taking those definitions from Discoverer and basically slamming them into OBIEE, and it's a good idea to go back and validate to make sure. So when you're on the connection pooling inside of the physical layer, you can right-click on that, pull down to properties, and be able to look at your connection pooling. And so whether or not in this particular case you're going against 8i or 9i, or a 10G or 11G database, you need to make sure that it's all set up correctly. There's more information in the BI piece than there is in the Discoverer module as far as options to be configured. So it would be my suggestion to go back in there and validate and make sure that everything got populated the way you would expect it to for your environment. So you can actually go and do a test. So you go to your inside the administration tool inside of the BI, of the OBIEE administration tool, go to the physical layer and say, all right, I want to take a look at the data of product just to make sure that the data is actually coming. And there's no better way to do that than to just right-click on product, pull down to view details, and actually look for the data to come back. And so you'll actually see your data, which is reading from your physical table. So again, you're not going back to your Discoverer server. You're hitting the source of the Discoverer data to begin with directly. So as long as you can see your data, that's good. That means your physical side is working properly. So there's also a consistency check that you need to be able to run to make sure your RPD file is set up properly. And so you want to be able to, it really goes through and checks all your logical columns and makes sure that they're mapped properly, whether they're mapping directly or indirectly to one or more physical columns. That whole setup needs to be validated. And when you did the load of the RPD file, there's no self-check or validation during a load. Just because it opened up in OBIE does not mean your RPD file is completely valid. And so the way to check that is to do a validation check. It will actually go through, validate all the metadata inside the RPD file. inside the RPD file to make sure that all of your connections are listed properly, that something isn't missing. Because the tool, if it can't read something inside your RPD file, sometimes it'll give you an error, sometimes it'll just omit that piece of information. And the omission is the one I worry about because I can't see that it's actually arrowing out. So this validation approach will actually help you out with that process. So then when you're actually looking at it inside of... when you're looking at this repository and you want to be able to use it with your different queries, so you're actually sitting inside of the repository file, which is where you're going to keep all your RPD files, etc. And looking at all your queries, there's an NQS config.ini file that you need to be able to look to and validate. And so you need to be able to copy that file from the Discoverer migration file that you were looking at before, and then copy it into your BI server repository. And We also saw some problems, too, and I'm not really sure why. I can't give you a good explanation, but going into Windows Explorer and just copying the file tended to have problems sometimes. So we would go actually into the tool set to actually do the copy, which seemed to be a lot more effective. So when you're looking at the final stages to preparing that repository for the use with your queries, you need to copy that repository file into the location where you just copied that INI file over. So again, if you're looking at, you look for that RPD, the RPD file, and copy it over into the server repository directory. And once it's actually copied in there, there's actually, you go inside of the INI file and give it some of the locations of what's where you're looking or what files you're looking for. And so in standard notation, the pound sign is a comment. So where those star scheme, where the star scheme, or at least the logical star schemas that are inside of your Discover environment, where they're located, you go into this repository, into this INI file, and set up where your repository is, where you're located, where your RPD files are, so you know where everything actually is, and so the Oracle, the OBIE toolset actually knows where to look. And then the most important thing, and this catches everybody all the time, including myself, after you make changes to your RPD file, you move things around your INI file, you, in the Windows environment, absolutely, you have to restart your BI server. In the notations, it tells you you may have to restart it. You're always going to have to restart it. We've never done a modification and actually had it work. And there are quite a few, there's like the BI Java host, the presentation layer, and the server layer. Even going into the administration tool, you can clear the cache to get new reports running or try to force it to reread the RPD file. It doesn't work all the time. And we've even had issues where we shut down the BI server, brought it back up, but the presentation server still had that information cached for you, and so you didn't get to see your new data. So my suggestion to you is always shut down the Java host, the presentation server, and the BI server whenever you do administration to your RPD file, and then restart up all the services again so you get a fresh start. So now we want to be able to validate the migration inside of the OBI tool. So you go back into your administration tool into the answers module and open up that the administration tool online. So there's a GUI tool that you can pull up if it's installed in Windows, just the administration tool, and then the BI administration tool will show up. You log in, and you can actually start looking at the analytics web component to be able to open up your to open up the repository to be able to do the query. So you're back in here where you're looking at your repository information that has been imported in. And after you restarted the BI server, go back and make sure your RPD file comes up. You're actually able to go through the administration tool, see that all of the physical and logical layers have all been exactly or are in a status that you're expecting, that they're all there and they're working. And then the last step is really to go ahead and actually go into the OBIE tool itself and test it. And so you log into the application. There won't be any dashboards inside of OBIE because you haven't created any. And this is the one piece that's missing in the migration. Your actual reports in Discoverer do not come over because you're only taking over the metadata. So if you have a Java applet or you have an Excel spreadsheet that pulls or hosts your the web page or the object in order to show the graph in Discover, or whether you're using the client-based or the web-based version of Discover, you don't get the graphs. So you have to rebuild the graphs. You get the metadata, so it's really point and click to recreate your graphs inside of OBIE, but you don't get the environment of the graphs, the KPIs, the dashboards that you had in Discover. So after you've done the migration and you're looking at your OBIE environment, you go into Answers, which is the ad hoc tool, which is the replacement for Discover. And so you'll have your subject area, for example. Are you familiar with the OBIE tool? Have you played with it at all?
No.
So when you go into Oracle Answers, it's actually a screenshot of what a user would see when they open up the OBIE tool. And so the repositories, the metadata, all the things that you migrated into the environment exist on the left-hand side of the screen. and then the subject areas that the more the user is going to be more familiar with and try to drill down into will be on the right. So under the subject areas, you have your business areas, video store tutorial for the example that we're using here. You can kind of click on that, and what ends up happening is you get your catalog of the My Folders area, which is any report that you build in OBIE. You have a couple of places you can put that save report, whether that's in My Folders, which is specifically for you and you only, so you have to log in as the user, you, or whatever user you're building, to see those. Share folders, exactly that. Anything in the shared folders can be seen by other people to be able to run the report. Doesn't mean they have access to the data, but it means they have access to the report. The My Briefing Books is for snapshotting, so you can take a picture of what a report looks like and then compare it a couple of weeks later to what it looked like before, so you don't have to take a printout of it to be able to compare what it used to look like. You can do briefing books to take snapshots. And filters and shared filters if you want to be able to just put global filters or a generic context into what you're reporting against. That's so you get those reports. And so when you're looking at these subject areas, this is where a user would click in, see the business area, the store tutorial, and click on that the tutorial subject area that we built. And it looks very similar to the previous screen, but what's changed now is on the left-hand side, we actually have our metadata. So this is actually one of the benefits of OBIEE, is now you have a clear delineation between what your lines of business should be looking at in terms of generating reports and what your IT department should be looking at to generate reports. So on the, if you can visualize this screen, which is what every user is going to look at when they're building a brand new report, if it's on the left-hand side, then IT's done their job because you've made that data available to the line of business. Where the line of business really excels is being able to take that data, turn it into information. So to build a report, do I add these columns together? Do I subtract them? Do I put them next to each other and do a comparison analysis? Or doesn't make sense for those two to be together? Whatever you want that report to look like, they build it on the right-hand side. And so you really get that delineation or separation of duties inside of your organization when it comes to reporting, and it kind of defeats a lot of arguments because, again, as long as it's on the left-hand side, IT's done their job. If it's not on the left-hand side, then the IT department needs to build the metadata like you did in Discoverer, what physical table, map it out so that it is presented on the left-hand side so your lines of business owners who are writing your reports or your super users can then write the reports going forward. So it's kind of really hard to show in a PowerPoint presentation how you kind of go through things, but if you were to open up a lot of the products that we actually had inside our EUL environment and be able to click on those product types, so product category description and the sales summation as a fact to be able to look at our report, you literally just click on those areas that you want to have on your report, and on the right-hand side, the product category, product description, sales sum will actually show up on the right-hand side. And so you can actually click on the tab on the top there where it says results and actually look at the data that's being presented. So now your line of business users aren't coming to you and saying from an IT side, well, I really want to add product description, what will that look like? They can actually do it on the fly because they have access to all the data, and it really, again, separates what they can see from what the IT department has to make available. And so with that, you've gone through the process, you've made that metadata available to your user community, and then in addition, you can have other RPD files as well, because Oracle also has a tool. If you have two RPD files, so let's say you had three Discoverer environments, you can build three RPD files from those three individual Discoverer environments, plus another OBIE environment, plus the pre-built analytics from Oracle, whatever other pieces and components you have, and you can merge them together into one global RPD file. And that is typically the process when you have multiple universes or subject areas or Discoverer installations. You'll take all the RPD files, merge them all together using Oracle's tool, and then going forward you have one reporting platform that services all your reporting needs for your organization. So the good news is OBIEE is not a mythical vaporware, nice to have, nice to get to application. It exists. There's people out there that are using it today. There are people out there that have taken their Discoverer metadata, moved it into OBIEE, and are using it today. It's not a myth. It is very viable. It is certainly where Oracle's direction is going to be, and Oracle uses on a daily basis as well. And so you can use the migration EUL tool to get your metadata into OBIE so you don't lose that capital investment. Just when you do it, make sure that you go through each step and validate that it actually did what you thought it would do, because you don't have a lot of visibility from the screenshots. You have to dive into log files, make sure that it did it. And when you're looking at those physical connections, don't be afraid to go in and validate the connections, because again, you're on a different server, you're on a different database, the connectivity rules might be different for that server. And so even though the metadata came over, if it doesn't match up as far as server names, IP addresses, routing in that you may not even have control over, are not the same as they were for your Discoverer server, you might not see that data. And so you can get away from what was a very nice Ford 150. It did what it needed to do. Your Discoverer environment did some great reports. It really helped you along. But now you can take advantage of all of the rich new features in OBIE. You're on the product stack going forward from what Oracle is looking to support. So you're not going to be in a situation when you're de-supported in the future because Discoverer is going away. You'll be on Oracle's premier technology stack and direction. So with that, I'd like to say thank you very much. If they're the security model, that's a very good question. When you're looking at, I think one of the slides actually brought, kind of had that listed. If I can find it here. The role-based security that's implemented inside of Discoverer comes over, and then you can augment further. I was kind of hoping to find the slide that could tell you that. But when you actually, this is why I suggest that you do the entire end user layer, not just specific business areas, because your security model to go across multiple business areas, and you may grab only parts of your security model based on that, depending on your implementation of Discoverer. So the security models that you have in place today will come over into OBIEE. There are some mappings that you'll have to do from a user perspective to create the same user communities for the same roles that you have. So There are some components in the security model you will have to create manually to do that. But the roles will be there. What data is accessible to those roles will be there. It's very similar to like the graphical interface. You're not going to have you're not going to have your reports come over. You're just going to have the metadata coming over. All the metadata and infrastructure that's built inside of the Discoverer EUL does get migrated into OBIE. But again, as with any migration that I would ever suggest, Oracle or otherwise, just because it said it migrated doesn't mean that it did. I would go in and validate it myself manually. But yeah, the security model comes over too.
What are the major areas that you have discovered which are not migrated?
Other than what I kind of mentioned, the major one for us was the reports, the actual user experience, because they have the reports in a certain order, what they were expecting, and when you think of migration and get it up and running, I would consider that part of the user experience or the migration of Discoverer, but it doesn't come over. And so when you're done the Discoverer, exactly what ended up happening after we'd done it, we did the migration in this approach or this implementation, this is what happens at the end of your migration. There isn't any tabs, there isn't any dashboards, there really isn't anything to speak of from the Discoverer side. What you do have is the data, the metadata, to be able to make those reports again, but it's a significant piece from the expectation side of what you thought you would be there. Now, the advantage of it from our standpoint, what I like to do is I'm very draconian when it comes to reporting. I love and relish the opportunity to tell a user, until you ask for the report, I'm not going to recreate it for you because we're going to clean up the environment. In my experience over the last 16 years of doing Oracle reporting in one form or another, almost 80 to 85% of reports that are built aren't being used. The people who built those reports aren't there at the company anymore, or they don't serve a purpose anymore. Or when you go with business intelligence, we also see a lot of reports were built to validate workflows or validate business processes or data sources that you don't need to validate anymore because you have the BI tool that you can go and do real-time reporting against. So a lot of those reports fall away. So although it's not built into the process for you, it is of great value to be able to then use that as an opportunity to clean up your reporting environment. So you kind of take a lemon and turn it into lemonade, really, but say, all right, let's go through the reports that you really like to see and show them how to build their own. So you don't have, you're not the one actually from an IT perspective.
If you're coming from the business suite.
And?
We have reports
in the data, daily business intelligence? Yeah, that there's no migration tool over from that environment. Yet. I can't say that there will be one. I'm obviously not in control of that, but talk to your Oracle rep and whine loud enough. If enough people whine, I'm sure they'll build the migration tool. But yeah, at this point, I'm not aware of any tool that's going to migrate daily business intelligence into OBIE. It sounds very similar, and it's a common question of what is the difference and why should I buy OBIE since I already bought daily business intelligence. It's a completely different technology stack under the covers. There's a lot of limitations. Discover is a lot has a lot more flexibility in its infrastructure than daily business intelligence has, and so it really wouldn't migrate very well to put Discover in the daily business intelligence because you'd lose a lot of functionality, hierarchies being one of them. That's a huge one. But when you're talking about the daily business intelligence migration into OBIE, I'm not aware of any plan that's actually going to move that over. That's pretty much a rebuild.
Question about security.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see people do for like a security approach with OBIE? Because my understanding is, when you mentioned that, my understanding is that you can integrate it like with LDAPs, and I've been in meetings where customers ask about that, we talk about it, but like, what do people actually end up doing? Is it usually necessary to do something robust, or do people just kind of create rules in it?
Reporting is a funny thing because it's always unique to the organization and what your reporting needs are. So the question about security is, you know, how do we implement it? When you have an existing security model in place, it's very easy to kind of piggyback on that. And so security is usually an afterthought when it comes to reporting. One of the nice parts about business intelligence, like in this Discoverer world, you either have access to all of the tables you're pulling data from, or you, if you're missing one, then your entire Discoverer report breaks. Right? Because if you don't have access to the product table, you run a report with product in it, it just says you don't have access to run this report, and it fails. What the Oracle Business Intelligence Engine can very smartly do is look at the column, and if you don't have access to it, it'll omit the column. So all the other columns, if it could still do the join, it'll show the information from all the other different columns, but product will be blank. And so the other really nice thing about your reporting needs is when you're talking about report,
then it
will trickle down, absolutely. But what's really nice about reporting when you're talking about OBIE is you no longer write the report for you or your direct reports or your supervisors. You write reports for the president of the company. Every single report you write is for the president of the company, and then you allow security to filter down what you can and cannot see. So if you're a regional manager, you log into the sales report, which should be a corporate-wide report, but then you log in and security will only let you see your region. And if you're a regional manager and you have HR responsibilities for your sales folk, for example, then if the report has the salary information of those people, you'll see it. But if you log in as just a regular sales rep, that same report will work for your region for you only, but it obviously doesn't make sense to show the salary information from all the other sales reps in your group. So security handles all that filtering for you. So kind of getting back to the original question of how security is actually done, there's really a couple of ways you can do security and hybrids of those three. The LDAP one was mentioned, where you can go against an external authentication source, Active Directory, whatever, LDAP. My experience is if there isn't already an LDAP in place that's strong enough to support that security model, they're not going to build it for OBIE. So if you have it, great. If you don't, probably not going to go that way. You can also import your security model from eBusiness Suite. Again, it depends on whether or not you have the security model in place that's robust enough to handle your reporting needs in OBIEE. You can build your own reporting platform or structure inside of OBIEE as well. So you can build your own roles, responsibilities to be able to give access. Generally speaking, we see kind of combinations of at least two of them, where they might pull in the security model from EBS and then configure it to be a little bit stronger when it comes to reporting.
Have you tried an existing OBIE environment migrating to an existing Discoverer to an existing OBIE environment?
It's just a migration of the RPD files, which it's a merge command from Oracle.
But what if they, both sides have the same?
Well, it's a different subject area, and so when you're logging into the product here, you'll have different subject areas listed inside your RPD file. So if you already have an existing one, inside of OBIE, and you do it's a merge utility that Oracle gives you to take two RPD files and put them together, you'll get another subject area. I've never tried it to actually have the same subject area defined. I didn't actually try that. But if you've got a Discoverer subject area and you've got another reporting platform, you do the BI applications pre-built as another subject area. They'll all exist as subject areas based on the security of the person who logged in, who can see certain subject areas, and it will be independent that way.
The real question that I have in my mind is that in case if it has the same subject area, does it automatically rename it?
I did not try that, so I don't know. I wouldn't even hazard to guess what it would do. I don't know if it would just realize it and do the renaming or whether it would try to do a conflict resolution and just kind of mush them together. I'm not really sure. Okay. So any other questions before I turn the mic off? Okay. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure.